made in the younger kids than the older kids. Just they were all good kids and they all were brought up in the Lord and they were all brought up like that. He just noticed the difference. So when he came back to Apsley, he started a church in his, and my Uncle Sanford is one of those kids right here now. Still here. Woo! And all that we've ever wanted to do, my grandpa was, he would just bring people in to preach and to share and to help missionaries because he wanted people around the community to know Jesus. And that's really what it was about. And he, my dad said for years, he just got other people to come in and do services. And then they moved from there to Apsley. And then there's been about four or five different moves since then. And it was just because of the difference that Jesus made in our lives. So, and he does. So turn with me to Mark. And that's why we do what we do here. And that's why we're here every week. And that's why we try to reach out with the, like, our church isn't here to beg you for your money. We're not here to try to have a church that's, you know, the fastest growing church in the world, or we're here because we want to make a difference in our community. We reach out with the youth. We reach out with the kids that don't go to church. We try to reach out to the moms that are single in our community, and we try to help them and their kids. And that's why I think it's great that you are thinking of Robin. And because that's really what being a Christian is. You know, the Bible says, freely you received, freely give, right? And church isn't about, this church is not about John Trotter. That's why John Trotter, and I'm not saying, I'm not normal, okay, in a church or a Christian or a pastor. Because I mean, I enjoy working. I couldn't sit in a church and be in an office all day. I would have a hard time. They used to call that, I used to get whipped a lot for it when I was young, but today they get away with it because they call it that ADD or whatever. Well, I think I had that when I was young. Because when I was young, I would sit in school and my mind wasn't in school. It was like everywhere else but school. And I just couldn't sit in one spot. But this church allows me to work. We work every day just like you would. And our church, as me, as you, we give to this community. We make a huge difference in this community because of Jesus. And that's what it's all about. Because the Bible says to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And you know, every one of us has a sphere of influence. Every one of us. And if everyone does what God wants them to do, the gospel will get out, right? We're not here for any other reason other than this. But you know, two weeks ago, a friend of mine was here, Mr. St. Pierre, and he was talking about, and I was thinking about this ever since, because I was in Montreal and I was coming home and Julia phoned me and was just telling me all about the service. And she was just telling me of what he was saying, the essence of really what he was saying. And it was really about a lot of stuff happens in life to people, right? And when things happen to you in life, what are you going to do? Because that's where the rubber meets the road. You know, I thought it was so amazing for you that weren't here last week to listen to Robin's testimony. How many people know Robin? We love Robin. Like, Robin is like one of my family members. Like, I see, she's not related at all, but Robin grew up very just hard. Her mom was an alcoholic, a heroin addict. Just, I don't have to be. Anyways, and she, so her grandma looked after her. And her coach in gymnastics fed her and paid for her to go to gymnastics and to give her a life a bit. And she's an amazing lady. She's a lady that out of her own pocket, now we would help her sometimes, but and with Grace, my daughter Grace, when she was a little girl, she seen that she was really good, flexible and good at gymnastics. And so Robin herself, and with her own car and her own money, like, and because I would pay her sometimes, but she wouldn't take my money sometimes, would drive two times a week to Peterborough with her and take her to gymnastics because of what her coach did for her to give it back. And the reason I'm talking about this is because she's real. If you didn't notice last week, she's a real person, right? Like, she doesn't pretend, and that's what I love about her. Because, you know, I have a hard time being around people that you know that aren't perfect, that pretend they're perfect, but everybody knows they're not perfect. So you're just living in a little world all by yourself because everybody knows the truth. So she just doesn't pretend, right? She's just who she is. And she ended up dying, and I laughed. I laughed all this week about it because when she died, she went to heaven. And she was gone for 7 minutes. And she said to me, "Holy crap." I won't say everything she said, but she said, my grandma took me to church and I asked Jesus in my heart and I'm a Christian. But I really didn't believe that heaven was really real. I thought that was just somebody that, you know, they just told a story about to give people a little bit of hope and happiness when they're dying. But it's real. That's what I love about her. She was honest. She said, "I really didn't think heaven was real." She said it was the most amazing place ever. Love. And she said, "It's not love that I love you. It was just love in me." And when I came back, I said, "Oh my God, I had to come back here?" Like, she didn't want to come back because it was just perfect. Because heaven's an amazing place. And that's why we want to do what we can so everybody gets to heaven. Because heaven is real. And that's why Jesus came to send his son to give the greatest thing he had. And you know, it's great because Josh and I were talking later because she said to me, and she said it here too, but I phoned her in the week because after I heard that she had a normal operation, a normal procedure, but the wrong doctor operated for something wrong. Not even the same. Anyways, there was a big mistake. And she ended up, it was just, the whole thing was a mistake. I'm not even getting into it because I don't really know everything. But one thing I know this is that heaven's for real. And I mean, I know that. And that's what I want to talk about today. God is so real. And the other thing that she couldn't understand about, and when I talked to her during the week, because Julie and I wanted to be a part of her life, because she was a part of our life for so long, helping us, and we wanted to just connect with her and see if she needed whatever, you know what I'm saying. And so this is what she said. And I'm just going to go, and then I'm going to start reading the Bible. Because, and she says, "You know, like, I'm far from perfect." And I was like, "Really?" And she said, "I still went to heaven." You know, the Bible says, it's not by works, lest any man should boast. You don't get to heaven because you're perfect. Because the Bible says there's no one good, no, not one. And that's why Jesus said, let me see if I can find this, because this isn't in my notes. But in Hebrews, it says here, I just got to find it first, so just give me a second. It says here in Moses, this is in Hebrews 3, in verse 6, it says, but Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoice in the hope firm unto the end? Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. In the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my works for 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation that said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sins. For we are made partakers of Christ. We are made what? We are made partakers. You're made partakers because of what Jesus did. It's not because of what you did. It's because of what he did. Because see, the reason the new covenant in Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews 9, Hebrews 8, I could read the whole thing. But the reason Jesus had to come was because nobody was good enough to keep the commandments, right? Because even Jesus and James said it like this. And I love this. And the reason he did it like this was because to make people know that there's no way they can get there without God. So you know how under the Ten Commandments, it says, don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, don't covet your neighbor's wife or your neighbor's stuff, and don't kill. And anyways, you understand. Well, Jesus said, and I thought this was funny because Jesus put it in today's terms. He says, the covenant says, not to lust after a woman. Like one of the commands. But I say to you, if you look on a woman and lust after her in your heart, you've already committed the same sin. Well, I don't know if any of you are normal or not. Like just normal people. That puts every one of us in that state. Maybe the odd one that's perfect in that area, but like, it puts everybody from that you think you can attain to get to God, it puts everybody right down at the floor. Because Jesus says, or he says this, the Bible says don't kill, right? One of the things is do not murder. But I say to you, if you already hate somebody in your heart, you're already a murderer. And what was he doing? He was making it so impossible that you could work your way to God, because you can't work your way to God. That's why Jesus had to come. Because the old covenant wasn't good enough, that Jesus had to come in with the new covenant that was good enough. That once and for all, he took your sin, he died, he shed his blood, he took the stripes on his back for your healing, that freely come, freely receive. And I believe that what she was talking about is every mankind, every person that calls on the name of the Jesus shall be saved. And how shall they hear without a what? A preacher. Not a pastor. A preacher. You. What is one of the best ways? I'm just sharing my heart here, okay? What is one of the best ways to preach the gospel? Who said that? Live it. That's exactly the right way. Because you can talk a lot. I remember one day, and I'm just going to share these testimonies. I'll put myself in there. I remember one day, there was a person that came to our church back a while ago. And I was in a store, and I was in a lineup. And you know how the Bible says that, now Mark, maybe you can find this for me, or Josh might know where this is, but I know the scripture, and the scripture says that, and it says that you let people see your good works. See, good works don't get you to heaven, but people need to see your good works that they may glorify your God in heaven. So the way we live our lives has a lot to do with our witness. Because I was listening to a radio station yesterday, and which was our radio station, and somebody was talking on that, and I was so broken hearted listening to this. And I don't know who it was, but I know this. And I wish I had, would have heard the guy's name, but I didn't. Maybe Michael Jr., you would know. But this guy came, he was a black man that came from another country, and he had a revelation of Jesus. Who was that? Gandhi. Who is that? Anyways, right? That's right. So he came, Gandhi, that's who it was. I don't even know who Gandhi is. I just listen. What's his name? Gandhi. Does anybody know who Gandhi is? Gandhi. Okay. Okay, I don't know who he is. Anyways, this is a prime example right here. Here's a man that had a... God made himself real to this man. And this man tried to get to America. And so he got to America. And I wouldn't share this other than I know that if it was on our radio station, it's right. So I'm sharing secondhand. But when I was there, I was brokenhearted. My heart went out. So this Gandhi or whatever, would you just tell me?
What?
Gandhi. Oh, Gandhi. Gandhi. So this Gandhi came to America to find God. And he came to a church. I'm not going to say the name of the church, but it was a born-again Christian church. And he went into this church to find God. And he said he came in to talk to them. And he said this, where did he come from? India. And he came to America. He went into this church, this church, spirit-filled church, and he said, I want to get born again. I want to find Jesus. God has made a revelation to me, and he's made himself real to me. And I came, remember in the Bible where Paul said, go, and in the chapter of book of Acts, one, who was it that said, go and he'll lead you to Jesus? Who was that? Was that Saul? And he had a vision, and he said, if you'll go over there, Ananias, that's exactly, and he'll lead you to Jesus. Sort of the exact same thing. He had a revelation of God. He came to America, the USA, and he went into a church that's born again, and they happened to be all white. And they said to him, God is only for us. And that man left that day, and he said later, I don't even know who he is or what he does, because I live in Apsley, and I know construction, and I know machines, and I know this, but I know this broke my heart when I listened to the radio station, because I actually listened to our radio station. And he said later in life, I would have done the same thing for Jesus that I've done here, but they rejected me. So he started his own religion, and it's called Gandhi. No, I don't know what it's called. I'm joking. And But even in his own religion, he uses much of what God showed him in the vision. But he wanted to get born again, and the church rejected him. Do you know that, who is that? Who was that? Who was that guy that had his ribs cut out? A rock star? Ozzy Osbourne? Marilyn Manson. Grew up in church. I heard his testimony one time. Grew up in church. He wanted to play rock and roll in church. Do you know what they did? They kicked him out. I've heard of hundreds of stories of people going to the church and the church telling them, you need to fix your life up and then you come here. You need to cut that hair, boy, and then you can come to church. You need to go and get them tattoos lasered off. If you, I'm not lying to you. Do you know that Jesus said, come as you what? You know, it's funny. I go fishing, or I don't fish anymore, but I used to fish. I used to fish 4 or 5 nights a week, and then I got married. And then I got babies. And I don't know, I don't fish anymore. But you know what's funny? That I've never ever caught a clean fish. Never done it. I've never done that. Even Julia used to fish with me. She wouldn't touch them. And she caught the biggest fish we ever caught. And then I grabbed the rod from her and said, come on, I need to. We had a muskie. True story. I'm going to tell you this story. I didn't talk to my wife for 2 days. She had this muskie. How long was it, Julia? I'm not going to lie. Like that long? No, I'm not lying. The head was this big around. She never seen a fish that big, and I never did either. And we were trolling. She had one rod, and I had the other rod. And when she caught this fish, I seen this fish, and I just grabbed her rod. And I started wheeling this fish, and I got it right beside the boat. And I said, all right. I said, now, scoop it. She hit it over the head. With the net. I said, oh, and that big muskie just went flip, 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 gone. And I said, what'd you do, you stupid woman, I said? Anyways, that's when I wasn't quite as calm. But even that fish wasn't cleaned. It was well alive. But why in the church do we think we got to fix everybody's life before they get born again? Because you know there's people that are divorced. There's people that are broken. There's people, and you know they're just as good later as they were before. God doesn't look at your past. He doesn't say, come, and if you'll do 4,000 penance, and you'll crawl on your knees, and you'll do the... See, you couldn't work your way to God. You couldn't do enough good works to get to God because you're not good enough. That's why people need Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. That's why the Bible says this, and I'm going to say this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But the next scripture says this. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him that the world would be saved. And you know that God loves people, even if you don't. And the best witness that you'll ever be is to be a person of love and to be a light. You know, the Bible says we are the light in this world. Well, I started out saying this, and I'm right in with this. I've done these things. And this lady, oh, I shouldn't have said lady, but it was lady now. I was in a store, and this lady was in our church. And it was a place in Peterborough, thankfully, away from Opsley. And the lady at the tiller, do you know how, I want to ask you a question. Why are people so ignorant with tillers? Do you know how much tillers make?
Very little.
Like minimum wage. I'm not saying, and they don't get tips like waitresses.
No.
Right. Anyways. And this lady, this woman, maybe didn't finish school like me. And she was trying to figure something out, the tiller lady. And when somebody's mad at you, your brain doesn't work more calmly. It works like it's going worse, right? Well, this lady that was a part of our church was just acting like a complete idiot. And I'm thinking, you know what I'm thinking? Boy, I feel sorry for that husband. Having a woman like that. And she, and thank God she never said anything about God. Because she was acting worse than most people would act. And I'm thinking, you got to be joking. I never said a word. I never said anything to anybody. I just thought, look at that. Like, what kind of a light is that? I was in a hockey tournament I'm in every weekend, but not now. Not now. We're off for the summer. Where was I? Down in Ottawa? I don't know. No, it was like 2 or 3 months ago. I don't know. I was in maybe in Oshawa. I don't know where I was. And I always go because I always talk to the people in our hockey world about the Lord. And I'll go out in the hall and, you know, if they're in a room and they're watching a hockey game, I'll go over and hang out with them for 20 minutes, half an hour, just so I can be a part. Because most people, if they're with people that aren't Christians, they just go into their little room and then they stay away from them. I don't go and drink with them, but I'll go over there and say hello to them. And I just talk to them about God, just normal, and I get to pray for people, and I get to marry them, and I get to to be a friend with them. And I always, one of the things I always try to do is, and because God's blessed us to be able to do this, this is what I've always wanted to do. So I always go at these tournaments, and I go to Walmart. And when I go to Walmart, I just buy all healthy food. Harry. Like bran flakes and healthy chips and healthy pop and healthy licorice and healthy gummy worms, and you get the deal. And I bring it back for all the kids, and because I want them to play so good the next day. And I always burn myself with you, Harry, don't I? Anyways, and I come back, and I give it to them, and they say to me, thanks. You didn't have to do that. I said, I love to do it. Yeah, but you always do it. I said, I like to do it. Because the Christian, do you know I have a friend of mine that has a dealership? And I'm just telling you. If we believe that God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Almighty God, he said to me, you know, and this guy is a Christian, but He said to me, do you know the people that come in here that are the worst? Are the worst, like trying to cheat you and steal from you and say, I'm a Christian, could you give me a break? And he said, man, I'm glad you're, because he's a Christian. He said, I'm glad you're Christian because you know God, he owns everything. So you want to pay more, don't you? He teases them. And he said, but they're the cheapest people around. And he said, if something goes wrong, they just fly off the handle. Now, see, and these are born again people, because you don't get born again because of your works. But, sure. Amen. Woohoo! Well, it's great to have you. And that's great, right? That's what it's about, right? I remember one time I had a guy come here. I had my rubber boots on. John Jr. had his rubber boots on. We were cutting the ditch. We had grass all over us. I had a guy pull in the parking lot. And he said to me, is this, is there a pastor around here? We hear there's a pastor here from, the guy's from Montreal. He drove from Montreal to this church. He says, I hear that they'll help people here. And I'm rubber boots and shorts. I look pretty. I'd have a nice shirt on, I'm sure. And I remember, because my son John Jr. was with me. And I said, well, depends what kind of help. And he says, I got cancer. I'm not a Christian. I'm not a church person. But I heard that you'll help people here. I'll never forget this. I said, well, you know what? You come to the right place. I said, if you don't mind the rubbers and the shorts, come on in. And we took him right in, took him, sat right here. He started to tell me his life. He's a teacher at McGill University. He played in the CFL. He coached one of the best hockey teams in North America, but he said, now I got cancer and nobody can help me. I spent all the money. He said, do you think God will help me? Well, I said, I know God will help you. Do you know I prayed for that man? He actually brought tanks and an IV in with him. And he was as yellow as you understand. And his two kids were with him. And I prayed for that man, my son, John Jr. and I, in her rubber boots, prayed for him. Before he was even a Christian. Yeah. You know, he had about 2 weeks to live. That's what they said. That man lived. God fixed him. I think he lived another 3 years. What? He's still living, yeah. After God healed him, it was a miracle because God fixed him right instantly, right there. And he went back. And he came back and he said, I want Jesus now. That's how much God loves people. Is that he'll even fix them before they even know him. Because that's what grace is. And who should be the best, the people that are full of grace? Those who have received it. That's you and me. I want to tell you, the church is the one that needs to be a light and to love people and to be a light in our community, not flipping out because somebody... Oh, I was going to tell you that story. So I was in a Walmart and there was this homeless guy and I was just in the same kind of a hurry. And you, how many people love Walmart? Yeah. About 8 o'clock at night. There's 500 people in a store and they have one till open. And I remember that little thing that I have. I don't like to sit one spot very long. What's that? HDD or ADHD. And so there's this. I honestly, I don't want to even lie to you. I don't know if it was a man or a woman. I told my wife about it. And they were poor or homeless. And they were buying new jeans. And the jeans were like $18. And they were trying to buy other stuff. And you got to understand, like there's 10 people in line here. One tiller, lots of that other stuff, like your bank card stuff, all of them were open. But I don't use them. I just like to pay for stuff. And you can't pay for stuff at them unless you use a Visa. And anyways, so I'm waiting in line. And I'm looking behind me, and they're like, and people are getting ugly. And I'm close to getting ugly. And here's this homeless person like this. After about 10 minutes, the lady behind the till says, "I don't think you got enough." And the lady in front of me started to talk. Like, get this lady out of here. I think it was a lady or a man. I think it was a lady. And she looked like she could be rough, like on drugs. Because she was late. Well, she was, you know what I mean? I'm not lying. And I was like 8 back. I just yelled up and said, "Hey, how much is her bill?" Because I'm only like that far. And the guy's like, "What's it to you?" Like, I said, "I'm going to pay for her." "Really? You're going to pay for this lady?" I said, "Yeah, I'm going to pay for this lady. How much is it?" And I just grabbed money out of my pocket and I just handed it up and I just said, give that to them. I did it for 2 reasons. I wanted to get out of there, which is true, but I also wasn't going to let her not have jeans because this woman needed jeans. Like bad. She needed shoes. And it was like $60. Or like the jeans were 20 and then she had other stuff. And she was counting change. And then she went to give me her change, the money that she had, and I said, "Keep your money." And I didn't even say anything. I just said, "You know what? God loves you and have a good day." And she, you know what she said? "Really?" I said, "Yeah, he does. Have a good night. Keep your change." And the line moved, and the lady said behind the counter, "I've never seen anybody do that before." Amen. Well, I do that all the time. Amen. All the time. I'm not going to allow somebody in line to get embarrassed when they say, "I don't know what's wrong with this card. There's money in there." Decline, decline, decline. Decline. Let me try another one. Maybe something must be wrong. Decline. I just said, hey, after the third decline, look, I'll pay for it. No, really, I got money. Yeah, sure you do. Here, let me pay for it. Get out of my way. Anyways, has anybody been in a store with somebody like that in front of them? Do you get mad at them or do you just pay for it? Help them out. I want to tell you something. Being a light in a dark place is what God called us to be. After I listened to that testimony yesterday about God making himself real in a vision, he knew he needed to receive Jesus. He didn't know how to receive Jesus. He knew in the vision, he seen Jesus. He seen Jesus on the cross. He seen love. Am I lying? No. And so he came to America to receive Jesus, and because he was black and they were white, God was only for white people. Now, that might have been quite a few years ago, but that's pretty sad. And you can liken that today with people today. Because we have people that have good sins that God loves, and then we have people that sins we don't like, so that's bad sin. God don't like them. The Bible says all sin is unrighteousness and falls short of the glory of God. And that means everybody needs Jesus. And I would just say this to you. You're probably the best witness that people will ever see if you act like Jesus. Even if it hurts you. It's almost 12 o'clock. I think that clock's lying. Let me tell one minute. I had a guy, and Duffy knows this, and I'm not. I had a guy that didn't pay me for something I did. And my first reaction was, because that's years ago when we didn't have anything. So the money that I paid, it was only $300. Was like all the $300 we had. And the man did not pay me. And my first reaction was to get upset. And then God started to deal with me and says, I love him just as much. Forget about it. So I forgot about it. And I treated this man and did other stuff for him just like normal, just like a friend. And I just forgot about it. When hard times came in his life, he came back to me and said to me, I know what I did to you, and you were still the same, and I want the Jesus you got. And it was because of another friend of yours as well, the two of us. I don't know what's wrong with you people, how we do you dirt, and you're still nice. There's something with that. And that man's going to heaven today. Because you treat people the way God would treat them, not the way we would treat them. Because we are not good people sometimes. But that's why you don't have to listen to your body, you listen to your heart. Let's be a light in this community. Father, Lord, I just thank you and I just praise you. Father, I thank you for every individual that's here. Every one of us that are born again are Christians, Father, that we can be a light to our community, to people that don't believe in God, the people that believe completely different than us, that we can still be a light and be good to them, that you can use us, Lord, to make a difference in life. Father, I thank you and I praise you for that. You know me. I'm far from perfect. And I make mistakes all the time. And I get upset and mad sometimes. But Father, our purpose and my purpose is to make a difference in life because of Jesus. Because of heaven. Father, I thank you and I praise you for it. And I give you glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Father, bless the giver. Bless this people as they with family in this long weekend. And Father, we thank you, we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Please, man. God bless.